All right, so if you could stand up, Janet, that would be just swell. And I'm not going to lead because, well, you'd all run and hide. So Nick's going to lead us in happy birthday. You ready, Nicholas?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday,
dear Janet.
Happy birthday to you.
So make sure you get over there and you give her a high five or a five or whatever you want to give her. It works. Anyways, so as I was kind of thinking about today and thinking of what's coming up on Thursday and just being thankful and what it means to be thankful and how often we come to the Lord with our problems and how often we come to Him with issues and struggles and whatever we may have. But, in Psalm 95, verse 2, it says, "Let us come to Him with thanksgiving, and let us sing psalms of praise to Him." So often we forget that we're in relationship with Lord, with our Lord, and it's not just this gimme, 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 but it's just being grateful for what He's done for us and for dying on the cross for us and giving us the roof that we have over our head and the food that we put in our mouths and giving us the ability to worship Him freely every day, to wake up and say, "Lord, today is devoted to You, Father God. I thank You for everything You're doing in my life, Father God, good or bad, because You know the outcome and You know what's going on, Lord. Father God, I thank You for the sacrifice that You gave on the cross for us, Father God. God, I thank You that You went to the cross and died for us, Father God, so we could live a free life, Father God, free from condemnation, Father God, free from guilt and free from pain, Father God. Lord, I thank You that You are working in our lives, Father God, in a new way every day, Lord, and I thank You for what You're doing in our church, Father God, and what You're doing in each and every one of us, Father God. Lord, I pray that as we focus on You today, Father God, that You will reveal to us, Father God, who You truly are to us, Father God, that You will reveal something new to us, Father God, as we come to you with thanksgiving, Father God, in our hearts, Father God. Lord, that You will touch us in a new way, Father God. God, I just pray that as we enter into worship with You, Father God, that we will experience Your love in a new way, Father God, that we will touch the heavens in a new way, Father God, that we will see Your face in a new way, Lord. In Your name, amen.
Thank You for Your everlasting kindness, God, towards us, Jesus. God, we thank You for it today. We thank You for it, God. We thank You for it, Jesus.
Take my place.
our chaos.
Brings our chaos back into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Come on, who rules the nations?
Who rules the nations? With truth and justice, shine like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is unfailing love. You will take my place. You will bear my cross. You will lay down your life. And I will be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Come on, this is amazing grace.
This is amazing grace. Unfailing love, that you will take my place, that you will bear my cross, you will lay down your life, and I will be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Jesus, I sing for.
Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Come on, sing, worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
Come on, sing it out.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Oh, worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Oh, we sing worthy. We sing worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you will take my place. That you will bear my cross. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh Lord, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done, God.
Deserved, God, you give it to us, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus. God, we can't even say that enough, Lord. It's not enough just to say thank you, God, but it is, God, at the same time. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you so much, God. Thank you, Lord.
You. me your love through the judgment you received. You have won my heart. You have won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for precious blood. Great.
sing that again. Grace, unspeakable grace, lavished on us through your precious blood. Grace, undeserved grace, you stood in my place and bore all my shame. Come on, sin and death defeated.
Sin and death defeated. The Lord's.
Come on, sing that again. Sin and death.
Sin and death defeated. Victory and freedom is the Lord. For I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. No longer a slave to sin. For I have been. Power, power, wonder.
Come on, let's just sing that one more time. And as we sing this, come on, let's just give all glory to God. Come on. Without His mercy and without His grace, come on, we would be dead in our sins. Amen. We thank You, Lord. For there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. For there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. We sing, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. No longer a slave to sin, for I have been born again. For I've been redeemed, for You came and found me. You rescued me where I was and showed me.
You love Him this morning.
Oh, we love You, Lord. Oh, we love You. We love You.
Singing the words to this song. Think of the powerful words of this song. The Lord was reminding me of a few weeks ago when Josh said, imagine, imagine, use your imagination. And so the Lord wants us to close our eyes and imagine that we're at the foot of the cross. When the Lord's blood was pouring out, Jesus. Healing began, freedom began, deliverance began, a love that we will never be able to understand began at the foot of that cross. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. we are loved.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. So when you're weak,
yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
When you're troubled, when you're angry and disappointed,
yes, Jesus. Thank
imagine
you, Jesus.
That image.
Thank you, Jesus.
Of Jesus on the cross and his blood poured out for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's just sing that one more time. For I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, no longer a slave to sin, for I have been born again. I've been redeemed. When you came and found me, you rescued me where I was and showed me relentless love. I have been redeemed. For love came down and rescued me. Love came down, set me free. I am yours, and I am forever yours. And mountain high or valley low, I sing out, remind my soul that I am yours, and I am forever yours.
want to share the scripture out of Matthew 27. Starting in verse 50, it says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And get this, the earth quaked, the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. That's wild. What else took place when the veil was torn? The veil was literally lifted off of man's eyes, off of our hearts, that we could enter in and then take as an inheritance our rightful position through relationship with Jesus as sons and daughters of God, so that the way we approach him from that point on was not limited nor restricted, that we could worship, that we could talk to him and he would talk back, that we could enter into his presence and not have to fight and toil, that it just completely, he just rewrote the game right then and there. When that veil was torn, he rewrote everything as it was known. This is the word of the Lord. Walk in that relationship. That veil was torn, allowing us to rejoice in who he is. Not having to go through another person or wait for a certain time or an event or a celebration, but every day and every moment we have the opportunity just to, here I am. The song says, I am yours and you are mine. I am yours. And so here we are, worshiping my... Encouragement to you this morning, I believe, as I'm led by the Lord, is to enter in into that place consistently, constantly. When we worship a brand new way, we talk a brand new way, we fellowship a brand new way. We don't have limitations. Satan was defeated. What?
Right. Amen.
Uh-huh. Satan is defeated. And we're recipients of that. We get to walk in that. We get to walk by the blood of Christ as love came down and conquered all. We get to walk in a pureness, a holiness. Not listening to the lies that tell us, oh, but you did that. Oh, but this. Oh, but that. Forget all that. So I'm saying all that to say that God is here right now, everywhere, all day, every day. And he loves you and he wants you. And you don't have to wait for something, a time, a place to worship him and to feel like you belong to him or you're accepted. Because, ladies and gentlemen, he's accepted us all. And the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, proves that. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you tore the veil, that literally demons and Satan were defeated and have to flee at the very mention of your name. Literally, the restrictions that once plagued mankind no longer exist through the blood and relationship of Jesus Christ. And I thank you that we can worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth, with our hearts and every part of our being. And we're here today as proof of that. And so in Jesus' name, we claim and receive the freedom that you have given us. We don't need to earn it. It's there. And we thank you for it. Take a moment to thank him for that freedom that allows you to be a son because of his love. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that you have given us, that you've accepted us, that you've adopted us, and that you have given everything you are to prove it. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Oh, my days, Jesus, I am yours.
Thank you, Lord. That's all I have left to say is thank you, Lord. Turn to somebody and give them a hug. Give them a handshake, a high five, and let them know who your Lord is.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm just doing the transition announcing, and then I'm going back down, and then I'm coming back up to sell tickets.
Okay. Okay.
Tim. You're good. Okay. You're a bunch of loving people.
I'm still doing them. But they're massage therapy. They're not massages. But I have this guy who's doing a massage. He gives an hour and a half for the same price people get an hour. He says you don't get a good massage until you get an hour. I want to say it's $65, $60. No, it's in his home. And it's a doctor. He's safe.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
He's safe. I know him.
What?
Downstairs.
Good morning, everyone. You bunch of loving people. So I am just needing to make a few announcements, and I know that they can be a bit boring, but they're so important. So if you guys would just listen for like less than 5 minutes, huh? Three of them. We have three of them. No, actually only two are going to go around. Okay, so tonight is the Lord's Supper, and we are so excited about it, you guys. The downstairs is already set up, ready to go, and what we're going to be doing is we're going to be receiving a very simple meal of soup and bread, and then we're going to be breaking bread together, having communion all at one table. And I know that sounds, how are we going to do that? But we already have it set ready to go, so it will work. We believe that it will work. So we're praying that everybody gets the opportunity to come. It starts at 6 o'clock. And so if y'all come, we have two kinds of soups, and then we're gonna just actually break bread at the end and have broken bread together. So that's so exciting. If you have already signed up, you should already know that you have. You don't need to sign up again. And you can check underneath the blank sheet to see if your name is on there. If it's not, please sign up. And that way we have a good count of how many that we need to set for. So we're going to start over here for this one. Thank you. Okay, so now, this one's really important. This one is this coming Saturday. And I know it's the holiday weekend, but we always decorate the church for Christmas, and this Saturday is the day. So we need as much help as we can get. It is our actual weekend to clean, so I guess they're doing training for the cleaners that Saturday. So if you're coming for training for cleaning and you're cleaning the church, if you can even lend a hand helping to decorate, and the Other churches coming with a few people. They're going to help us. It should go really quickly. It should not take a whole long time. So we're going to start at 9 o'clock, and we normally are done before noon. So it's really, really quick and easy. And so if you can help with that, we would really appreciate it. So we'll start this one over here. And then the last announcement I have is we are having our women's Christmas brunch this year. And so we're doing it up a little bit different. And so 2 weeks from yesterday, December 6th, I think is the day. Hold on. Let me look. It's not on here. December 6th, I believe. It's Saturday morning, 9:30 to 11:30. We're doing a Christmas brunch. Over here after church, tickets will go on sale. The entry is a $5 ticket and a pair of or more of socks. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be receiving the socks, and we're going to be taking them to Good Samaritan and giving them out to all of the patients that are inpatient there at Christmas time and letting all of these patients have socks. So we're receiving men's socks and women's socks. So if you have any, you know, if you go to Costco and you see a package of three or whatever, grab a package and we'll separate them out and we'll give them out to the patients there. This is such a wonderful way to reach out to the community to bless them. And it's awesome because the women of our church and Proverbs 31 Ministry are going together this year and doing this together, so it's very exciting. So anyway, so it's $5 a ticket plus entry in is going to be your ticket for a raffle and a pair of socks. And at this time, I'm going to have Miss Barb come up because she's actually going to be talking about an outreach that's happening tomorrow, I believe.
The 31 Women Ministry, the ladies met on the first Saturday of this month, which I don't remember the date, but it doesn't matter. We met, and our purpose was to bring clothes, donation of clothing for the YWCA, and so for the people that have to live there for however long their place there or they have to live there. So it's clothing for family, women and family, and children, of course. And so tomorrow at 4:30, we're going to take the clothes there, and we're going to distribute them. We're going to give them to them. And there will be a photo session at 4:30, so please be there at 4:30 because they close at 5. So sometime between 4:30 and 5, there will be a photo session. So any of you ladies who have your 31 women T-shirts, please wear them if you can. And so it won't be long. You'll be able to get home for supper and everything. But if you can, please come 4:30 for anyone who can. All right. And that has been a huge blessing for our community. And it'll be even more of a blessing as these clothing are placed into these families. So let me tell you where YWCA is. On Yakima Avenue, it's 818 North Yakima. So West Yakima Avenue, because they're no longer downtown on Natchez or anything. Now that big, beautiful building on Yakima Avenue, 818 West Yakima Avenue. So 4:30 to 5, all right? Is that okay? Okay? Yeah, all right. Anyone who can, all right? And please continue to pray for this ministry. The Lord has really blessed it every time we get together that first Saturday of the month. And we're still praying that the Lord will guide us in what it is he wants us to do. So this ministry is dedicated to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Can I have the children come up, please? Childs. Yeah, power walking, right on. Okay. Hey, she's waving to you. Just saying. Okay. Hey. Hi. Okay, you guys want to hold hands and pray? Okay, me either. Yeah, I didn't really want to. I was just wondering. So, what are we gonna do now? Oh, okay, pray. All right, you wanna pray?
Come on. No? I know you will. No way. Microphone scares. Don't worry. It scares adults too. Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Let's just, do we have to close our eyes? No, we don't have to, do we? No. Do you know, if you know why it's a good idea to close your eyes, actually, is so you don't be distracted and do all this other stuff. But if you should close your eyes and you know you should, then you should. So if not, it's whatever. Okay, so I'm going to close my eyes, okay? I want to focus on what I'm going to say. So, Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for these awesome children that you have blessed us with, and we thank you for the covering over their lives, and we thank you for the way that you're using them. And I would say for us as adults and parents and leaders, etc., that you would guide us not to suppress them in any way, but to allow the giftings and to nurture the very person that you've designed them to be, whether it be today in a Sunday school lesson or at home, but that we would just really focus on hearing you, us and them, so that we can all be exactly who you've called us, designed us, and made us to be. We just release that over us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I am yours. He just slipped a...
You build the church.
Okay, now we're going to ask Pastor Michael to come up and thank you, Lord, that the veil is torn, that we can receive this message as sons and daughters, not something that we have to fight to hear it or oh my gosh, I got to figure this out, but that truly as God's children, we can listen and walk in this by faith, right? Faith is substance,
things hoped for.
And evidence,
things not seen. Should I turn mine on now?
All right, here we go. But
without faith, it's impossible to please God.
But without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen. This way I won't trip on this. I mean, he may have another addendum here in a minute. You know, who knows? Right during the message. Oh, I forgot something. Well, praise the Lord. How y'all doing? Good? Good. This is 8 weeks since I have shared up here. So it's like, I think it's the longest I've ever gone. Yeah, I've been in the service, and I've enjoyed the transformation time that we had and the different speakers who have shared over the last couple of 2 months, really. So it's been awesome. I'm believing for more individuals to continually be inspired with the Word of God, whether they share it at this time or share it during the service. I believe we're a body. I believe we're not just a few individuals. We're not just, we're not just like all a hand, but I believe that God uses each and every one of us. I believe that we're called for such a time as this. There's a purpose and a destiny for each and every one of us. And I believe that what we can do here sometimes, especially around family, should be easy. If we really want to be able to move in the highways and the byways, in the darker area out there where, you know, there seems to be no light, we need to be comfortable to be able to be who we're called here among family. And we should be able to, you know, something, Lord put something on our heart to share it. And some of you say, well, you know, what's it matter what I share? Well, it really does matter. It really does matter what the Lord puts on your heart. It really does matter what maybe he's shown you this week in a truth, a revelation that was for you. It may be for all of us. So make sure you're asking Holy Spirit during the service, is this for everyone? Is this for just me? And I believe that as we continue to see more of the Spirit of the Lord working in and through us as a body, we'll see a greater revelation of who he is come, because one person can't bring it all. I mean that. You know, five people can't bring it all. That's, it's impossible. And for us to limit God and what he wants to do here by having others just be silent. Now, maybe it's just a song to the Lord that you'll sing in your spirit to God and you'll release something during the service. I don't know. Maybe it's not even up here, but what I want you to do is engage and enter in and allow the Lord to work through you as well as anyone else. It's not the worship team that just takes us into the heavenlies. You know that, don't you? It really is not. And it's even though they're participating with us and they are in a leadership mode because they're playing the music and they're, of course, inspiring us with the songs that are going on, it's not them that actually takes us in. It's all of us together by faith stepping in. You can do this at home, just as Josh was sharing. You can do this at home. You can be sitting on your couch, and you can just say, Lord, I just enter into your presence, and that's all it takes. Start saying thank you, because it says we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. So his gates are supernatural, you know. His courts are supernatural, and as we praise him, thank him, it's a good time to thank him, isn't it? This week's Thanksgiving. Good time to say thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me life where there was no life, where I was drying up and almost ready to blow away because of the sting of sin and death that was upon me. You set me free from that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for your body that was broken so I could be made whole. But the only way you can do that is if it's true. Only way you can do that is if you concentrate on what he's done for you. If you just leave it, you know, tabled in your Bible or underlined, and you don't make it part of who you are, then the work of the cross becomes ineffective in your life. And there's parts of the cross's work in all of our lives that are ineffective. But if it's something that you've been shown and something that's been revealed to you, and then you leave it dormant sitting and a highlight on a page in a book, you haven't made it become life to you, then you're limiting the power that it has. Because even though Jesus died for every single person on this earth, not everybody's saved right now. Some people are leaving that page highlight in their book. There's many who have seen that it takes Jesus to be saved, but they choose not to lay down their life. They choose to go their own way. They choose to not receive the grace that's been so freely given. And that's easy for us as Christians to say, well, yes, that's what non-believers do. But we do it as believers. We sometimes take the low road, and the low road is just the path of least resistance, and that seems to be not striving in our faith. And we don't strive in works. We strive in entering into his rest. We strive into entering in through that veil. We strive to come into a place in his presence. But it takes work. It did say strive, work to enter into my rest. Yeah, and you know, that's not, that even though there's so much irony in that statement, that's not impossible. We can literally work hard to enter into such a rest that it feels like we haven't worked at all. That it feels like we haven't even sweated. Because once you enter into his rest, the work seems to be not even significant anymore. You know, it's amazing how, you know, you can do a task and you're like working hard at it. You know, it seems like, oh, this is just taking forever. But then once it's done, it's like all of a sudden, women who've had babies, come on now, that's what it's like, right? It's a hard time for a day and a half for some, you know. It seems like 9 months of hard times sometimes. But when the baby is there, you're holding the baby, the work is done. It's like, how many of you are sitting there going, yeah, but 3 weeks ago, man, I was like having some Braxton Hicks that was just, I mean, you're not doing that, are you? You're rejoicing over the life, right? And I believe that's how it is. When we work to enter into his rest, it's a rest. It's a freedom. But then guess what? Tomorrow you got to do it again. See, it doesn't just happen, and then you're always in his rest. I wish it was that way. I wish it was, you know, we get saved and we get all fixed. Does anybody know how, can we get that to happen where we get saved and we just get fixed? I mean, we're doctored up and, man, we're perfect. Wouldn't those be the days? But in Christ we are. That's the dilemma. We're already fully fixed. That's what the Bible says. We're perfected in Christ. We're complete. It's a complete work. Yet we have to continue to what? We have to enter into that truth. The rest that we're complete. Okay, I wasn't going to be sharing all this today, but you can tell I haven't been talking for 8 weeks. Maybe that's what it is. That was just a little addendum. So today I want to go where I haven't gone before. Maybe no man's gone. No, I'm sure there's probably a sermon out there if you type it in. But the title of this sermon is that you are not only human. You are not only human. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, as individuals, and I mean, I've said it myself. I'm not, you know, saying that this is something that I am, you know, excluded from. But we tend, speaking about taking the highest and the lowest road, in taking the lowest road, a lot of times defend our lack of entering into who we truly are, the completeness of that God has made us. We use the excuse that, well, I'm only human. Well, I'm only human. I mean, I said that, you know, and I know I shouldn't, but, you know, I'm only human. Guys, that's not the truth. That is not the truth. And it's sad that most of us sometimes think, but that's the way I act, so that must be what I am. You cannot take your current condition. You can definitely not take your past. And you cannot even take what others say about you in your current condition as who you are. If you take your own view of yourself, and you take others' view of yourself, or the past that you've done, and you say that that's who you are, then you're denying the work of the cross. You might as well be betraying the work of the cross, because the cross has made us saved, sanctified, delivered, and complete. So if we take the low road and say that we're only human, we're limiting the truth in our lives' operation. See, it's without the truth, we won't be made free. Without the truth, we will not be made free. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, I mean, you know, we're already free. That's true. But without the truth and the reality of what condition you're facing, see, I can tell you the truth that has made me free, but it may not be the truth that you need to hear to make you free. See, you may need to hear a truth that the way that you did this back then was not your choice or whatever, that God will say to your heart, that's not who you are, my son, my daughter. That was part of the sin nature that was in you, and that is dead. And you may need to hear that truth. Maybe the truth that you're just simply a new creation. The Lord needs to speak that to your heart. But just because I said that doesn't mean God's made it a truth to you. Let me read a verse here that may help us. If we go to 2 Corinthians 5, okay, nothing. Oh, we don't have anybody driving that. No, we don't need it yet. I'll tell you when. Thank you, bro. Let's see, where do we want to start? Now we'll just start at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Okay, let's read that one more time, because that is a heavy, heavy, heavy revy. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus. In other words, we discern this. We judge this. We discern that if one died for all, then all died. So did Jesus die for you? Did he die for me? Yep. He died for you. So, and he died for you, and then you died with him. If he died for all, then all died. So why are we even talking about the old man if all died? Why are we even discussing it? Why do we even have to preach about this? Because we don't have the truth. See, if all of us were sitting in this truth right now, I wouldn't even need to be sharing it. Because you'd be saying, Pastor, amen, amen, amen. Nobody would be getting revelation, but we don't get it. I don't even get it, as deep as that is, that we have died. Galatians 2:20 says it this way, we've been crucified with Christ. Now someone will say, well, it's a metaphor, Pastor. Really? Really? So when Jesus was laying on the cross and he became sin, was it just some pseudo-sin that I did, or did somehow the sin person that I am supernaturally was laid upon him? Actually, every single individual in the world was laid upon Christ. Not just our sins, but we were attached to our sins. You realize that, don't you? Our sins weren't just something floating out there, you know, like a butterfly, you catch it. No, they're attached to us. Before Christ, they're ours. We've got title deed to them, and Satan's got title deed to us. We own our sins. So when Christ became sin who knew no sin, he was all mankind. Not just mankind. He bore the world on his shoulder. You ever seen that where you see Jesus? He literally did. The immensity of what he did on the cross was not just a man dying a gruesome death, but it was a man having to carry every single sin, every single debauchery, you name the atrocities, he bore the guilt for that. He felt the weight of those sins upon him. And you and I were nailed to the cross with him. Now, if you can get that picture in your imagination, maybe you can start saying, well, if I've been nailed to the cross with him, then I should be able to walk in some kind of freedom. Sin should not have my number anymore. Because that death that he bore was a high enough price for me to be free from sin. Amen? 15, for he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Now, we would just say, well, that means I'm just not supposed to have things my own way. But why do we just take it only that far? Why, when it says that if he died and carried everything that we are and we died with him, then why should we live a normal existence as well? Why should we live as men? Why should we just live as people that are only human? I'll tell you the answer. We shouldn't. We should not be living this life, this existence now, as just mere men. Let's listen to Paul. He goes on to say, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. So in other words, if all have died with Christ, I'm not even going to regard my fellow man, or we should not, even according to their own flesh. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, let's finish. Maybe it'll help. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no longer. So what does that mean? If we do not regard a man according to the flesh, how do we regard them? By the Spirit. And folks, this is an area that we lack as believers, I believe, in the world. This is our greatest dilemma, is that when we see someone, we see the flesh. In the streets, in the church, in dealing with conflict, we're dealing with it most of the time in the flesh and not in the spirit. And because we're dealing with it in the flesh, guess what? It's ugly. Because the flesh is ugly. And so you have conflict, you have maybe not full on out, you know, offensive, you know, beating each other, or but in the realm of where things are getting, the battle's going on, you're arming the enemy against someone, and they're arming the enemy against you. And so your words become weapons of warfare against them, someone that you love, someone that may be in your own home. How many men have seen their wives according to the flesh, not the spirit, or vice versa? And say, well, Pastor Mike, I mean, that's like impossible, because don't you realize I'm only human? No, I don't realize that. Not right now, at least. Maybe if you'd ask me, you know, 4 hours from now, oh, yeah, me too, brother. But now, what I'm trying to say is that we are given guidelines and instructions and challenges, but it's so easy to slough them off with the excuse, but I'm only human. Well, you know, Pastor Mike, I'm not Jesus. What does that mean? Why do we do this? No, I'm not, nobody's saying it right now, but I've been around a lot of people. This is what we say. This is how we communicate. This is how we drop down to the level of not living promises. We excuse our way to mediocrity. And I'm just as guilty. Listen to this. Therefore, 17, and we know this. Therefore, if anyone, who is anyone? How about this? Therefore, if Pastor Mike, no, that doesn't just, that's not what it says. But a lot of people say, well, Pastor Mike, he's doing a lot better than I am because he's a pastor. He's more spiritual than I am because, you know, he preaches on Sunday. Come on, guys, this is how sometimes if we're not saying it, we're buzzing it inside the brain. Well, you know, Pastor, you don't understand how my struggles, I understand you have struggles. We're going to continue to have struggles. In this life, you will have tribulations. That will happen. In this life, offenses will come. That means there's a potential to have an offense against somebody. I'm not saying that I'm talking about everything's going to be just a smooth road, no bumps, no detours, no, you know, no bridges out along the way. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying what we do have in Christ is that we are a new creation. We are a new creation. And so many of you say, well, Pastor, you think about that. How do you know you're a new creation? Well, I'm saved. I know that the blood of Jesus, we sang about it, I'm a new creation. I'm born again. I know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to see my Jesus face to face, and I'm going to experience the glories of heaven, and I know that he's with me, and he'll walk through me through this life, and he'll help me along the way. And we start at a certain point limiting to that. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying you're a new creation. What's that saying? Guess what? It's saying you're not human anymore, or you're not only human anymore. Let me not make it so weird that I say that we're not humans, even though the Bible says it. But I won't even go there because I can see right now we're getting a little bit of a struggle with this part. But listen, it says that we're new creations. What does that mean? Well, you need to ask the Lord what it means for you. I can tell you what I'm learning it means for me, but that may not be what you need to hear. And we have got to get out of the ways of just making it so what the pastor tells us is what I need. Because I am not God. And I don't want to be God. Because he is fully capable of telling you everything that you need to grow and mature and to become the son and daughter that he's called you to be. Fully capable. And you're fully capable to hear him. This thing of, well, I can't understand the Bible. You think that God needs you to understand the Bible to teach you? If somebody's totally illiterate, he can get it to them. I'm trying to tell you that there's more to this than what we've thought there's been. And what's this? Eternal life. Eternal life starts now. Glory starts now. The same that says in the Bible, the same glorious presence, that's the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead, gives life to these mortal bodies. That's a glory. The Bible says that we're being changed from glory to glory. So if we're being changed from glory to glory, I think there's some glory upon us now. There was some glory when you said, I do, to Jesus. When you said, yep, put the ring on my finger, I'm going to go ahead and be your one. That's what you do. You marry Christ. Let's just call it like it is. That's what the Bible says. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Husband, wife, Christ, church. Men, your brides. You just got to get used to it. Spiritually, you're wearing a ring. And I bet if we could see it, we'd just be blown away at what the ring of commitment that God's given us. I digress. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, let me put it this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you can say I'm changing the Bible. I am a little bit, but I'm going off the last two verses. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new spiritual creation. The old flesh person, the old human flesh person passed away. Well, isn't that interesting? Because that sounds like we're dead, doesn't it? This Bible says a lot if you read it. It really does. Behold, all things have become new. Everything in us is new. And that's so hard because when we look in the mirror, it doesn't look new. When we see our conduct, it doesn't look new. It says everything that we do and how we look sometimes in the mirror is contrary to the truth that I just read you. But which is right? Which do we believe? Well, most of the time we believe what we see. We do. Most of the time we believe in others what we see. We don't believe what is the truth about them. I was sharing with a couple a few weeks ago, and I was saying, listen, I think the best thing for your marriage is if you could just start seeing each other as God sees them. Because you're going to have a hard time finding those other things. Because God sees them brand new. And if you really want to know, God sees them complete. Why does he see us complete? See, that's the thing. If we don't understand even the basis of why he sees us complete, then we're missing why we're even saved, folks. Because when Jesus died on the cross and we enter into that death. We don't just say, oh, I believe in that. How many know that they can believe in President Obama, even though you've never met him, right? But you don't enter into President Obama. You don't even hardly, most people don't enter into his politics. But folks, we enter into the work of the cross. We, by faith, say, you know what? I'm leaving this existence, and I'm moving into this existence of a dead man.
I'm moving into this existence of an individual who identifies, but not only identifies, but fully honors and embraces a new life. And you have to watch what comes out of your mouth. You got to guard your tongue.
Okay, I've got to get to it. One more time. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
So I did a little slide here. For those of you who say, well, this looks familiar, it is probably familiar. I have taken Joyce Meyer's I Am statements, and they're statements I've read in other books and stuff. So, I mean, those are pretty common type of statements. And I've made them a you are statement because, you know, a lot of times we point at others and say, you're only human. But I want you to today realize that when God talks about this, you can put the I am and you can get those. If you want the link, I can give it to you. Is it ready to go? It's not going. You are in Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead and go to the first one. Oh, you went to the second one. I've got a... Yeah, when you hit the space bar, it goes... There you go. You are not just only human, but you are greatly loved by God. You guys got to remember that. That's really the basis for why we even receive Christ, is that God loves us. You are free from the law of sin and death. Why are you free from the law of sin and death? Because you died. And your life is now hidden totally in Christ. So when God sees you, he sees Jesus. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. There you go. You are complete. I wasn't making it up. Okay. You are alive with Christ. So if you died with Christ, guess what now? You now have risen with Christ and you're now alive. You are far from oppression, and fear does not come near you. That's from Isaiah. That's tough, isn't it? Well, Pastor, I was afraid the other day. I was afraid last night. I heard a noise. But I'm telling you that in Christ, fear does not have to come near us. All of this is in Christ. Next one. You are born of God, and the evil one does not touch you. That's really something, isn't it? The evil one does not touch you. Well, Pastor Mike, you should have seen all the things that came through my life. The only way that the evil one touches you is when you receive his evil into your heart. It's kind of like being in the fire and the flames don't touch you. Even though they may be touching you really in the natural, because we all go through stuff. It's what you let come into your heart. It's what you let abide and live there is really if it's touching you or not. You are holy and without blame before him in love. You're holy. You're without blame. You are God's child, for you are born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There it is. You are a new creation in Christ. Next one. You are a spirit being alive to God. That's Romans 6:1 and 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You are a believer, and the light of the gospel shines in your mind. See, these are some things we need to remind ourselves of. You are a joint heir with Christ. Now, that one I've been trying to dwell on, and I'll tell you what, I have a hard time with it. You know why I have a hard time with it? Because I don't see it manifested fully. But the reason I don't see it manifested fully is because I'm having a hard time with it. I need to just believe it and receive it, and I shall have it. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. We say that all the time. We're more than conquerors. Is it the truth, though? It is the truth. It is 100% the truth that you are more than a conqueror. So what does that mean? If you're more than a conqueror, that means you conquer, but then even more than that. Again, you need to take some time. We need to take some time and dwell on these. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, Revelation 12. Also says to not love your life unto death. So don't love this life because you're already dead. Go ahead, Jess. You are a partaker of his divine nature. Says that through these precious promises, which we know is the word of God and his word spoken to us, that we're now a partaker of his divine nature. That's a powerful statement. That his divine nature is something that we have. You are an ambassador for Christ, representative of the Most High and his kingdom. You are part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. That's a lot. And yet, we always, not always, but sometimes take that lower path. But I'm only human, Pastor. No, you're not. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, it doesn't say you're just righteous. It says we're literally now the righteousness of God. How righteous is God? How righteous is God? Can we compare God's righteousness to anything? I mean, is there anything that we can say, well, you know, God's, there's something? No, it's ultimate righteousness. And in Christ Jesus, which when we're dead, we're raised in him, we're God's righteousness. That person that you are interacting with, they're God's righteousness. Help us, Lord, to see. Help us, Lord, to receive the truth. Because I want to be free. I don't want to let my human limitations, my faults and my shortcomings and the areas of my life that have been stained with the world continue to dictate who I am. Because they're a lie. That is truly the lie now. The truth is that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. Goes on to say, if you are the temple of the Spirit, you're not your own, then be careful what you do with your body. Go ahead, Jess. You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. You are the light of the world. You are his elect, full of mercy, kindness, humility, and long-suffering. You are forgiven. All of your sins are washed in the blood. We sang about that today. You're forgiven. Present tense, you're forgiven. When you do something, say, I receive the forgiveness that's waiting for me. Help me change the way I think, Lord. Help me repent from the way I act. Help me take this crooked path and make it straight so I can walk the way you want me to walk. Repentance is changing your mind. It's not just falling on the floor and weeping and crying because you did it again. No, ask Holy Spirit to truly teach you how to repent. You are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom, into God's kingdom. One place it says, into the Son of his love. We're translated from darkness into the Son of his love, into the kingdom of God. So it sounds like we maybe were there one time in darkness, but we're not in darkness anymore. And I do not care what your life looks like. That is the lie. The conduct is the lie. That is the truth. And the more we focus on the truth, it'll make us free from the conduct. You are redeemed from the curse of sin, sickness, and poverty. You are firmly rooted, built up, established in your faith, and overflowing with gratitude. You are called of God to be the voice of his praise, and you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. You are raised up with Christ and seated in heavenly places. You are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. You are submitted to God, and the devil flees from you because you resist him in the name of Jesus. See, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about submitting to God isn't just necessarily saying, oh, Lord, help me so I never do that anymore. Submitting God is saying, I submit to your full work. I yield to the unity I have with you, and that your oneness with me is going to transform and change me from what I am now. In other words, you look at the source of power, not your weak state. See, it's in your weak state that he perfects his strength. So if we bring our weakness to him, he will work through us and make us strong in him. You are submitted to God. Oh, we got that one. You are a doer of the word and blessed in your actions. That's kind of a statement of faith. You are a doer of the word and blessed in your actions. We have to be doers of the words, not just hearers only. What I've shared today, you want to make sure that you don't just go home and say, well, that was nice. Any of the messages that happen here, whether through song, if it touches your heart, don't let it sit. That's like something being underlined in your Bible. Even though you may not be underlining, it somehow touches your heart. That's God underlining something in you. Go and revisit that. Say, God, how does this apply to a way that I can live this out? You struck a chord in me. You made something stand out that Pastor Mike was saying, or a song that we heard today. How does that become reality in my life? Or did you just want me to just, oh, that's good? No, that's not what he's doing. He's trying to teach us. He's trying to raise us up in him. Okay, final thing is just a few encouraging words. You press on towards the goal to win the prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. You press on. If today you hear, oh, I can't match up to what Pastor Mike's saying, and you feel down and I can't do that. No, you press on. Tomorrow's another day. If you didn't understand the message today, go and ask God to teach you how you can fully embrace being dead in Christ and raised into newness of life. Because maybe I'm not saying it properly, at least for you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. See, there's no reason to be afraid of what's coming in the future. Whether that's full transformation, or whether that's global catastrophe, whether that's the spirit of fear is not who we are. Whether that's your future at work, or whether that's your future in relationships, it's not to be a spirit of fear. It's power and love and a sound mind. And again, these can just be cute sayings, folks. They can. These can be just cute sayings unless you go and live these out. Now, it says that the word of God cannot come back void, because it always goes to where it does and accomplishes what it's sent for. But what if the word never has a chance to penetrate? What if it's closed off? If we let it in, it will produce fruit. I guarantee it. If we let it in, it's got to get in to where it gets good soil and it can start producing something. And then this. It is not I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's the key. That is truly the key, that it's not us living this life anymore.
It's not you. It's not me. Matter of fact, I'm not even preaching up here. If you don't like the sermon, go talk to him. You know, that's what it says, right? It is not I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now you say, well, that's Paul, Pastor Mike, and he was saying that, and you know, we know that he was a godly man and that he, you know, he could say that. Well, Paul would beg to differ with you. He had a way of putting himself, he's the least of the apostles, he's the worst of the offenders. I mean, Paul in his own eyes didn't see himself that way. Yet he could boldly say, it's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Because he understood that when Jesus went to the cross, that more than just Jesus died, that all died. All of our old human ways died. So we're not just only human. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. We're kings and priests. We're royalty. And it does not matter what it looks like right now. That is what the truth is. And until we embrace that, I believe, we'll continue to be kicking the dirt down here. We'll continue to be looking for answers in places that the answers weren't meant to be. The answer's in him. And folks, he's in you. He's as close as the air you breathe. And the Holy Spirit is ready to reveal all and teach you all truth, 100%. And lead you into a life of full abundance. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just want to repent. And again, repenting, folks, is changing our mind. It's changing the way that we think. Lord, we want to change the way that we think, God, about what you accomplished, Lord, for us on Calvary. That it wasn't just you dying on the cross, but we somehow died with you as well. And that the old us has passed away. As hard as that is to understand, we choose to believe. We choose to embrace that truth, that we're a new creation. We're a new creation. And what we look like now in the natural and the way that we act is not going to remain. Because we're being changed from glory to glory. That it's you who are at work in us. And you have started this work, Lord. And you're going to be the faithful one to complete this work. And we do. We yield our lives into your hands right now, Lord. We surrender our lives into your ways and your purposes. We just ask you, Lord, to help us to quit looking at each other according to the flesh, according to the natural. To see each other, Lord, by your standards, by the way that you see them. And Lord, help us to see us the way you see us. Not by what we see in the mirror, not by what we act like, but how you see us. Let that be the standard, Lord, we live by. How you see us. Remove the communications out of our mouth, Lord, that speak contrary to that. Help us abide in you in such a way, Lord, that don't see anything else other than what your work you're doing in us. I just bless family right now, Lord. I ask that you just continue to let your richness, your glory, your inheritance, God, that you have for my brothers and sisters, God, to rest upon them, that they would see, Lord, they would see, Lord, not just what they see here now, Lord, but they would see that glorious inheritance and that richness, God, that's in you, that's on them, Lord, because they're in you. I pray, Lord, for a release of lies of the enemy, a release of the distractions that continue to plague them, that keep them from being able to focus on you. Help them turn aside, Lord, and to gaze at you. They have to, Lord, use their imagination, God, to gaze at you, to let transformation come, Lord, when they see you face to face, your glorious appearing. I release the truth of the glorious gospel over your people. Over my heart today, Lord, I release your truth. And I thank you that your word says that as your truth is experienced and known, we'll be made free. Thank you, Lord, because whom the Son has set free will be free indeed. I believe there's a freedom coming for us as believers, that we won't go back to things because the truth had come, revealed the lies, exposed the darkness, and we were able to experience the revelation of what that meant and just walk out of it in total freedom because of the glorious work of the cross, because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of the Father. We receive this today in Jesus' name. Pastor Gay will be over here to take your money for the women's brunch. And again, don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be having Lord's Supper. It's going to be awesome. I believe it'll be a great experience as a family to take and break bread and have an intimate time together in Jesus' name. Love you all.